الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب من جحد شيئا من الأسماء والصفات The chapter with regards to the one who rejected or the one who denied something from the names and attributes, meaning from the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the one who has done this, فَقَدْ كَفَرْ, then he had disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَابُ مَنْ جَحَدَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ, the chapter with regards to the one who rejected or denied something, يعني جَحَدَ شَيْئًا, anything, even if it was one name, or even if it was one attribute, if he denied or belied or rejected anything from the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is contrary and in conflict entirely and in contradiction to the foundation of at-tawheed. And we all know that at-tawheed is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the sole right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should be singled out, tabaraka wa ta'ala, with everything that is specific to him from his lordship and from his beautiful names and attributes and likewise from all actions of worship, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So from the aspects of at-tawheed is tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. And this is from the greatest affair and from the wisdom behind creating the creation is so that Allah, He can be known. So that Allah, He can be known and loved and worshipped with humbleness and humility, with love and hope and fear, and with servitude and devotion. To know Him is to know Him by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned, Allah la ilaha illa huwa lahul asma'ul husna. Allah, there is nothing worthy of worship except for Him, and to Him belong all of the beautiful names. And to Him alone belong all of the most beautiful names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَ فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, and all of the most beautiful names that belong to Allah alone. So therefore call on Him by way of them. Invoke Him and worship Him by way of them. قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيًّا مَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, call on Allah or call on Ar-Rahman. And whichever one you call on, then all of the most beautiful names, they belong to Him. They belong to Him. Allah, He mentioned, Huwa Allahu al-Khaliq al-Bari' al-Musawwir, Lahu al-Asma' al-Husna, that Allah, He is the creator and the originator and the one who has given everything its shape and its form. And He possesses all of the most beautiful, the most beautiful and perfect names, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And has been collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْئِنَ إِسْمًا, that verily Allah, He has 99 names, مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا, مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا, that Allah, He has all, that Allah, He has 99 names, 100 minus 1, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, one worthy, مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever memorizes them and learns them, and understands them and comprehends them, and worships Allah by way of them, and complies to what they require and necessitate, then he will enter paradise. So from the wisdom of the creation and the purpose of our life is to know Allah, to know Him with knowledge of His names and attributes, and knowledge of His greatness and His authority, and knowledge of His supreme command and knowledge and the ability to do all things. To know Him from His names, His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection, and to know Him by worshipping Him and complying to Him and surrendering to Him with obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this is a very dangerous affair, to deny something from the names and attributes of Allah, and to belie them and to reject them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, for example, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, and Allah, He spoke to Musa with speech. So therefore, the way of the people of truth and the way of the people of the sunnah is to affirm the speech for Allah Azza wa Jal. To affirm the speech for Allah Azza wa Jal. الله يتكلم بكلام يليق بجلاله وعظمته سبحانه وتعالى. Allah, he speaks with speech that is befitting and according to his majesty and his glory, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has a firmness for himself. So how could a person come and say, after Allah, he says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَقْلِيمًا. Come and say, وَمَا كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَقْلِيمًا. How could somebody say this? Allah, he says, and Allah, he spoke to Musa with speech. And then somebody will come and say, no, Allah didn't speak to Musa with speech. And he putting the negation there. وَمَا كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَقْلِيمًا. This is what they say. There are many people who have belied and denied the attribute of speaking. And they said, no, Allah, he didn't speak to Musa. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the example of this affair. This is disbelief, waliyadhu billah. And this is because this is belying the Qur'an and denying and rejecting the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Sistawa, that the most gracious, he has risen over the throne. And then someone will come and say, no, he didn't make istiwa. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has affirmed this for himself in his book. So in this manner, this is belying the Qur'an. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُطَتَانِ. Rather, both of his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are outstretched. And then somebody will come and say, no, he doesn't have two hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord will remain with honor and glory and majesty. Someone will say, no, he doesn't have a face. No, he doesn't have a face. In this manner like this, this is falsehood. And this is rejecting the Qur'an and rejecting the authentic texts that have come in the book and in the sunnah. And the Shaykh is warning from this affair. Because as has preceded, this portion of the work is clarifying من نوازم التوحيد, the affairs that are from that which Tawheed requires and necessitates. And as we know, this work here is about specifically Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Ibadah. That this work here is specifically about the Tawheed of worship, and the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the affair of singling out Allah alone with divinity. Yani Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah aw al-Ilahiyyah, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is divine. He is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the one who the worship is His right only. And from that which this requires and necessitates, yani al-Uluhiyyah, al-Asma'i wa Sifat, that He is the one who is divine, that He is the one who has the attributes of perfection, that He is the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is alive and never dies, that He is the one who is strong and never weak, and He is the one who feeds and is not fed. He is the one who has the perfect and supreme knowledge and wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who is able to do all things. So this is from the requirements, and this is what necessitates al-uluhiyyah. And for this reason, we see that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, he has mentioned the interpretation of the word Allah, and he said, ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. That Allah, this word, this beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal, it means that He is the one who possesses al-uluhiyyah and al-ubudiyyah upon all of the creation. ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Meaning that Allah, He is the one who has al-uluhiyyah. And what is intended here is divinity. He is the one who is divine. He is the one who is perfect in His names and attributes. He is the one who is complete in His names and attributes. He has no deficiency whatsoever. This is why He has the right to be worshipped, because of His beautiful names and attributes of perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, no deficiency whatsoever from any aspect. No shortcoming or deficiency or fault in His beautiful names, or in His lofty attributes of perfection, or in His actions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, no deficiency, no defect, no fault whatsoever. No fault whatsoever. And thus the entire creation is a slave to Him. In truth and in right, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this chapter is very important to clarify the issue of al-uluhiyyah, and that making a mistake with regards to the names and the attributes is a great deficiency in tawhid al-uluhiyyah, to make a mistake in this affair, to misunderstand this affair, and in the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer, he must strive to learn them properly. He must strive to learn these names and learn how to believe in them, and learn these attributes and learn how to believe in them, the proper belief, the creed of as-salaf as-salih, the creed of the companions and the tabi'een and those after them, Yani from the narrators of hadith and the best generations, those who narrated the Quran to us, and those who narrated these narrations to us, how was their creed and belief with regards to the sifat specifically? How was their creed and their belief with regards to the sifat specifically? This is very important, to believe in the manner they believed, because they're the ones who transmitted this affair to us. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ حَتَّى يَتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ كَذَلِكَ البخاري, and likewise Ali ibn Madini, likewise Imam Ahmed, all of them, they have similar statements. And they boil down to the statement of Bukhari, إِنْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَدْرِي مَنْ هُمْ. And in that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there will always remain a group that are victorious upon the truth, apparent, victorious upon the truth. No harm will come to them from those who oppose them or for those who abandon them until the establishment of the hour comes. They will be victorious upon the truth in every aspect. They will have the proper creed and proper belief. They will be upon the proper methodology, traversing upon the straight path upon clarity. Upon clarity and their creed and their belief and their methodology and their way and their worship and their manners. And the likes of Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Ahmed and Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahumullah, they all mentioned a similar statement. إِن لَمْ يَكُونُوا أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَدْرِي مَنْ هُمْ. If they're not, then these people here, the people of hadith, I do not know who they are. I do not know who they are. So Ali ibn al-Madini, he died in the year 233. And Imam Ahmed, he died in the year 241. And Al-Bukhari, he died in the year 256. So this is in reference to Ahl al-Hadith that had preceded them, those who had narrated the narrations to them. Those who had narrated the narrations to them. This is who they're referring to specifically. And those narrators of Hadith who had carried this deen to them. So their creed is the proper creed, and their belief is the proper belief. So therefore, a believer, he has to have great diligence and concern about learning al-Aqidah al-Salafiyyah. Al-Aqidah al-Salafiyyah al-Sahihah. The correct creed, the creed of the pious predecessors. The creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and those first three generations from the companions and the tabi'een and atba' tabi'een. And likewise those who in the time of their era, those books were collected from the tabi'a atba' tabi'een, from ashab al-kutub al-sitta. Their creed and their belief was the upright creed and belief, the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise their methodology. So with regards to this affair, yani to summarize, with regards to this affair, to summarize, to believe in the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla has two great pillars, an-nafyu wa ithbat, an-nafyu wa ithbat, negation and affirmation. And sometimes the nafyu is referred to at-tanzih. At-tanzih is referred to at-tanzih. And this is to negate from Allah every deficiency and fault. To negate from Allah every deficiency and fault and every attribute of weakness. Every attribute of weakness or fault or deficiency or shortcoming, this is negated from Allah. This is negated from Allah. So this is called tanzih. But the tanzih of Ahl Sunnah is tanzihun bila ta'atheel. Tanzihun bila ta'atheel. Ta'atheel is like al-juhud, is to reject and to deny. So we free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every defect and every deficiency and every fault without denying His names and attributes. We free Him from those defects and those faults without denying His names and attributes. Without denying those His names and attributes. وَالِثْبَاتُ بِلَا تَمْثِيلُ وَالِثْبَاتُ بِلَا تَمْثِيلُ. And to affirm the attributes that Allah has affirmed for Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala without making any resemblance to the creation. So therefore we negate every deficiency and fault and defect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without denying any one of the names or attributes. And we affirm for Allah azza wa jal the attributes of perfection, the attributes of perfection, the attributes of perfection that He has affirmed for Himself in His book and that His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed for Him in His authentic sunnah without making any resemblance to the creation whatsoever. And the principle for this issue here, there are a number of texts. At the head of them, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That there is nothing like unto Him. There is nothing like unto His resemblance. I mean, there is nothing compared to Him in any aspect whatsoever. And He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. This right here is تَنْزِيه. There's negation here in the first part. There's nothing like Him whatsoever. He has nothing that resembles Him whatsoever. subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing like him, nothing compared to him, nothing resembling him, not in his that, not in his self or his essence, not in his ilm, not in his hayat, not in his life, not in his kudra, not in any aspect, not in his wisdom, not in his mercy. There's nothing compared to him, not in his hearing, not in his sight, not in his hand, not in his face. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing compared to him whatsoever. Laysa kimithlihi shay. This is a verse from the Quran. These are the words of Allah. There's nothing like him whatsoever compared to him from any aspect. But the verse has another portion. Wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. At the same time, that there's nothing like him whatsoever. There's nothing comparable or resembling him whatsoever from any aspect. From any aspect. At the same time, he is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. So the second part of the verse, has affirmation. After negating any resemblance to himself whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has affirmed that he hears and sees. So therefore, he hears and sees. But his hearing and seeing is not like anything in the creation or compared to anything besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand this. So this is the case with all of the attributes. This is the case with all of the attributes. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing comparable or resembling to him whatsoever. No one is superior to him or a rival to him or similar to him in any of his names or attributes. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know anyone who is similar to him in his name? Any meaning, no one is similar to him. No one is equal to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has no resemblance. He has no resemblance. And this is something that is very easy to believe, and from the beauty of Al-Islam, as has proceeded in other classes, alhamdulillah. And a person, he can see that in the creation, for example, there are things that have the attribute of hearing. There are things in the creation that have the attribute of seeing. For example, the human being can see, and likewise a cat can see, and also a bird can see. But the sight and the vision of a human being is not like that of the cat or a bird. It's not like that of a cat or a bird. And insects, likewise, they can see. And the sight of the insects is not like the sight of any of these other things that have been mentioned. But they all share this attribute and they all can see. But it's different. The way a bird sees is different than the way the ant sees. Or the way the moth sees. And the likes like this, but they have vision. Or the way the cat sees. Or the way the fish sees. The fish, it sees likewise. He can see, he has vision, he can see where he's going. And he by the bounty of Allah. But he doesn't see the way that we see. He doesn't see how we see. And we don't see how the birds see. We don't see how the animals see and the likes like this. Likewise the hearing, the bird can hear and the cat can hear, so on and so forth. But they don't hear the same way that we hear. So there's no, we share the attribute of hearing, but they're all different. They're all different. So if we can establish this attribute for different things in the creation and that it's different according to each one, the hearing of the animal or of the cat or of the bird is specific to that thing that the hearing is ascribed to. According to that thing, the hearing of a bird, the hearing of a cat, the hearing of a human being, the hearing of a boy, the hearing of a man, the hearing of an old man, even the men, their hearing is different. Different levels. So we can establish this affair and we can see this and understand this very clearly. Then for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثُلُ الْأَعْلَى, He has the most perfect description. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also affirmed for Himself that He can hear, but He doesn't hear like anything in the creation. His hearing is absolute and perfect, and He hears all things, and nothing is disturbing Him or conflicting with His hearing. Where he can't understand and comprehend, rather he hears all of mankind and all of their languages and all of the sounds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana alladhi wasya bi samihi al-aswat. So glorified to Allah, the one who has encompassed all things in his hearing. And meaning he hears all things. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Likewise, the issue of, for example, hands. The human being has hands. And there are a number of other animals likewise, or insects, they have hands, but they're not the same. And even a clock, it has hands. And likewise, the human being has a face, and other animals likewise. An ant has a face as well, and a moth has a face, and a fish has a face, and a cat has a face. Even the mountain has a face. Sometimes people get scratches on the face of their watch, and the likes like this. So these are the words face here being used. Well, how many people are alive today on the face of the earth? What is that man doing climbing up the face of the mountain? Like this, this is the word face being used in many different contexts, and each one has a different meaning. And if I said that there are a number, or there are millions of people alive today walking on the face of the earth, we wouldn't think of a nose and eyebrows. This doesn't come to mind in this context. When face is ascribed to the earth, it doesn't come to mind that there's a nose and there's an eyebrow. Or somebody said, look at, I need to get my watch face cleaned. It's got lots of scratches on it. Somebody would not think about a nostril and lips and a beard whenever we ascribe the face to the watch. So the word face, and like all these other attributes, they're specific to what they're ascribed to. And this is what the people of knowledge, they mentioned in this affair. And this principle is derived from understanding the lugha. Al-idafatu taqtadi al-takhsis. That whenever something is in an idafa and ascribed to something else, any mudaf mudaf ilay, then this indicates that something is being specialized or becoming specific. So the face of the mountain is specific to a mountain, and the face of the watch is specific to a watch, and the face of a clock is specific to a clock, and the face of a bird is specific to a bird. And the face of a man is specific to a man, because now the word face is being ascribed to these different things. So therefore, al-idafa taqtadi al-takhsis. So each one is according. Likewise, the face of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, now there's nothing like him, because now it's ascribed to him, laysa kamithlihi shay, lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. But he affirmed it for himself, so therefore we affirm it for him. How do we affirm it for him? In a manner befitting his majesty. In a manner befitting his majesty. So the meanings of these names and attributes, we understand them from understanding the Arabic language. But as for how they are and the reality of how they are, we do not know. We do not know. So this portion here, we entrust that to Allah. This portion here, we entrust that to Allah. Which portion is entrusted to Allah? We make tafwidh. The salaf, they make tafwidh. Of what? Of the kayfiyyah. Of how the attribute is. Some people, they claim that they follow the methodology of the salaf, and they say that they make tafwidh, but they make tafwidh of the ma'na. Tafwidh means to entrust the meaning to Allah. To say, I believe in the attribute, I don't know how it is. To entrust it to Allah. So people have tried to mislead they have misunderstood the methodology of the Salaf, and they have made a mistake, and they claim to follow the creed of the Salaf al-Salih, but they are incorrect. And they use this term here, tafwid, and they're called al-mufawidah. They're very dangerous. So we have to pay attention here. The tafwid, to entrust a believer, he puts his affairs in the hands of Allah, and he puts his trust and reliance upon Allah, and he hopes in all. This is type of tafwid. Trust and reliance, and in thiqa billahi azza wa jal. With regards to the names and the attributes, the salaf, they made tafwidh of the how the attribute is, not of the meaning. Because the meaning is clear in the Arabic language. Hearing means hearing, and seeing means seeing, and knowledge means knowledge, and mercy means mercy, and wisdom means wisdom. A face means face, hands mean hands. So in the Arabic language, it's very clear what these words mean. The meaning of these words. So we know the meaning. Al-istiwa, we know the meaning. And the likes like this, but we do not know how they are, the reality of how. So therefore, the methodology of the Salaf with regards to this affair is to affirm the meaning. How to affirm the meaning? Since Allah, He did not tell us how the meaning is, then we affirm it and we say in a manner befitting His Majesty. So how the meaning is, we entrust that to Allah. So we affirm the meaning. We infer the meaning of hands means hands. We don't distort the meaning. We don't say hands means blessing. We don't say hands means power. We don't say face means this. We don't distort the meanings. We don't change the meanings from the apparent understanding. Rather, we affirm that meaning in a manner befitting Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, without resembling that to the creation whatsoever. Without resembling that to the creation whatsoever. So the principle here, likewise, the people of knowledge, they mention, al-kiramu fi sifati far'un an al-kirami fi dhat. It's a very important principle. A few words to memorize and understand. Al-kiramu fi sifat far'un an al-kirami fi dhat. To speak about the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, this stems from speaking about His essence, about His self. So we affirm for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He has a that, that He has an essence, that He has a life. And His self and His essence and His life is not like the that of anything in the creation. It's not like the that or the essence or the self of anything in the creation. So likewise, his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are not like the attributes of anything in creation. Are not like the attributes of anything in creation. So this is, in general, the principle. Tanzihun bila ta'thil wa ithbatun bila tamthil. Bila tamthil. Likewise, in this case, the people of knowledge, they mention, to affirm for Allah Azza wa Jal what He has affirmed for Himself, and to affirm for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala what His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed for Him, بِغَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْثِيلٍ وَبِغَيْرِ تَكِيفٍ وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ, without distorting the meaning or denying the meaning, and without asking how the meaning is, or trying to determine how the meaning is, and without making a resemblance to the creation. This is the proper manner to believe in those names and attributes. To believe in those names and attributes in a manner that has come and been mentioned in the book and the authentic sunnah, in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah, without distorting the meaning, without denying the attribute, and without asking how or making a resemblance to the creation. The people who deny the attributes, the reason why they deny the attributes is because first they make tashbih. First, whenever they hear, they can't understand and comprehend this principle that Allah, He has an essence in a life, and His essence in life is not like anything in His creation. So therefore, His attributes likewise are not like anything in the creation. So whenever they hear hearing or they hear knowledge, they can't comprehend anything except for that which is like the human being, or that which is like in creation. So therefore, they run from that. Or the hand, if they said they think of hand, or if they think of face, they can't help except for liken or understand the face in the creation, or the hand in the creation. So then they say, oh no, Allah, they make tanzih. And they say, no, Allah, He doesn't have, there's no way He can have a fit like this. And they say this, so they run from making tashbih, and they wind up making ta'thil, denying the attribute, either by completely denying it or by misinterpreting it. So they'll go from tashbih and run from that and make tahrif. And they'll say, no, the hand means, his two hands means his two powers. Or his two hands means his two blessings. And the likes like this. Or they'll say the mahabba, the love, means that Allah wants good for somebody. Or they say the attribute of al-ghadab, anger, that Allah, he wants to punish somebody. So they're going to refer the attribute of love and hate or anger back to the irada. So they don't affirm love as an attribute for Allah, but they affirm the irada. And some of them are like this, and this manner like this. It's falsehood. And so they run from making tashbih to making tahrif. And in reality, they're making ta'thil. You understand that? They don't want to make a resemblance of Allah to the creation, so therefore they distort the meaning. And by distorting the meaning, they have denied the attribute. You understand? By distorting the meaning, they have denied the attribute. So if they say no, they can't comprehend hands except the hands of creation. So they say Allah, He doesn't have hands like the creation. So therefore, He doesn't have hands. So what are they going to say? They don't want to say that Allah doesn't have hands, because Allah, He said He has hands. So they say, oh, the hands means blessing. The hands means blessing. So therefore, they have distorted the meaning of the word hands. They have distorted the meaning of the word hands. And in reality, they have denied the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have denied the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. We understand that. So as for Ahlul Sunnah, we do not make tashbih like them, likewise. But that does not cause us to make tahrif. We don't change or distort the meaning as well either. Because we know what hands means in the Arabic language. So Allah, He affirmed them for Himself. Who knows better about Allah and His names and attributes? Huh? Allah, he knows best about Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the creation, who knows best about Him? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look in the book, in the authentic sunnah, we find that the hands are established there. And if we look into the way of the companions, they never distorted that or changed that meaning. Therefore, they understood it upon the foundation of the Arabic language, which is their language. And that is that there are hands. That there are hands. But also Allah nor His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned how they are. The how they are and the reality of them. So therefore we don't know that part. So therefore we say what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and that is that Allah has hands, but we don't ask how, and we don't change the meaning. we say in a manner befitting His Majesty. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And that His hands are not like the hands of creation. His descent, the nuzul, in the last of every night, it's not like the descent of the creation. It's not like the descent of the creation. Many people, whenever they hear this, they think, oh, descending means to come from a higher level to a lower level. So then if Allah is above His throne, then that means that now if He descends in the last part of the night, then the throne is going to be on top of Him. Or he has to come off of His throne. And all of these affairs that are corrupt and that are foul and they're not correct. And this is all based upon understanding the attributes of Allah compared to the creation. So the word nuzul, we know what that means, but how Allah descends, it's not like the creation. It's not like the creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So there's nothing like Him whatsoever, nothing resembling Him whatsoever, but He is all-hearing, all-seeing, and also He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty. In a manner befitting His Majesty. So we don't compare or understand His descent to our descent or to the descent of a creation. So the way that an airplane descends is different from the way a man descends whenever he's going down the stairs. And the way that a bird descends is different than the way a rock descends. If you have a bird and you drop him off a cliff, he's going to come down a different way than you drop a rock. If you drop a rock. So in the creation, there's things that descend, and all of them are different in the way they descend. Helicopters descend differently than the way a big jumbo jet descends, and so on and so forth. This is the case. So also, if you come down the stairs descending, a little boy, he descends a little bit different than an old man. Sometimes a little boy, he got to run down the stairs. So his descent is different. And likewise, whenever the leader comes to the town and the president comes, his descent down is a little bit different. He comes with the entourage, people all around him, and the likes like this. So the point is that the descent occurs in many different manners, in the creation. So therefore, the way that Allah, His Nuzul, is in a manner befitting His Majesty, but He affirmed that for Himself, but it's not like anything in the creation. So we don't, this is the first thing to free the mind from that, to free from the mind from attaching the understanding of these terms to the understanding in the creation. Because the word is according to what it's ascribed to. Likewise, the Qudra, the power of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, min asma'ihi al-husna al-qadir, al-muqtadir, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He has the ability to do all things. So the human being, he has qudra likewise. And many things in the creation, they have qudra likewise. They have power, they have ability. But each one is according to what you ascribe it to. For example, if you say the qudra of an ant, the power of an ant, or the ability of an ant, and then the ability of an elephant, are they the same? Whenever you think of this one is different than when you think of this one. The ability of a strong young man, and the ability of an old man in a wheelchair. And are they the same? Is their power the same? Is their ability the same? No, it's different according to the one you ascribe it to. According to the one you ascribe it to. So the any al-idafa taqtadi al-takhsis. So the qudra, if it's ascribed to the human being, it's according to his deficiency and his weakness. If it's ascribed to the creation, it's according to the weakness of that creation and its deficiency. If it's ascribed to the Creator, then it's according to His Majesty and His glory and His power and authority and command. You understand? Alhamdulillah. This is the, in summarization, the creed of a Salaf al-Saleh. The people of knowledge, they mention examples of the dangers of this affair and making a mistake with regards to affirming something that Allah has negated, or with regards to negating something that Allah has affirmed. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal nafa an nafsihi al-walid. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has negated that He has a son. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has negated that He has a son. And this is a major affair. So the one who affirms that for Allah, after Allah, He negated it from Himself, they're under a great threat and warning. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And that Allah, He revealed this Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the reasons to warn those who say and claim that Allah took a son, and to warn them from a severe punishment and the threat of a blazing flame and the anger of Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He mentions, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَاقُ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِيرُ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. And these beautiful verses in Surah Maryam, that they have claimed, they said that Ar-Rahman, He has taken a son, and they have come with something major and foul, and the heavens are about to be torn apart. and the heavens are about to be torn apart, and the earth is about to be split, and the mountains are about to fall from their places that they have claimed that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. And this is a major affair. And it's not befitting for Ar-Rahman to have a son, because the son, he resembles his father. The son, he has a resemblance to his father. Well, Allah, laysa kamithlihi shay, lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Allah, he doesn't have a son. He negated that from himself in more than one place. And those who affirm that for Allah, they have a great threat. And this is a major affair. Likewise, with regards to the mistake of negating something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has affirmed for himself. And Allah, he mentioned that in the day of resurrection, that the people's hearings and their eyes and their skins will testify against them. Will testify against them about what they used to do from crimes and actions of disobedience. Their own eyes and their own ears and their own skin are going to testify against them. Are going to testify against them. And Allah, he mentioned, yani, about this affair, وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. But rather you thought that Allah, he didn't know much of what you used to do. But rather you thought that Allah, he didn't know much of what you used to do. So here we have the attribute of knowledge. And we have these mushrikun and these individuals, بَلْظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. But rather you thought that Allah, he didn't know much of what you used to do. They didn't even negate the attribute entirely. Meaning they affirmed that Allah, he knows, but they thought that Allah didn't know much of what they used to do. It's been mentioned about this affair that there were individuals, and one of them would say to the other one, he said, does Allah know what we're doing? Can Allah hear us? And then one of them, he would say, if we whisper, he can't hear us. And then one other one would say, if we say it out loud, he can hear us. And the likes like this. And so they had this bad thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal and a deficiency in his knowledge. Meaning that Allah, he can hear, or he has knowledge, but it's not complete and perfect. And he liked this. And this is what this verse is referring to. That they thought, but rather you thought that Allah didn't know much of what you used to do. So here they didn't negate the attribute entirely, but they affirmed it in the wrong manner. In the wrong manner, negating the perfect and complete encompassing knowledge from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah, he mentioned, he said, وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This is your false thoughts and your evil thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal that you thought and it destroyed you. It has landed you in destruction and you have become from the losers. And so from the ways to be destroyed and to become from the losers is to misunderstand the attributes of Allah. Even to affirm them, but in the wrong manner. And to misunderstand something. That's why the Shaykh, he says, مَنْ جَحَدَ شَيْئًا مِنْ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. Whoever belied, denied, rejected anything, even if it's one attribute, or one name, or a part of an attribute. يعني ذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمْ وَلَذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So the affair of the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal is very important to understand them. And this is from the essence and the life of faith. The foundation of faith is al-imanu billah, al-imanu bi tawhidihi wa wahdaniyatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala fi rububiyatihi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa fi uluhiyatihi tabaraka wa ta'ala. To single him out and to believe in his oneness, in his lordship, and in his actions subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his beautiful names and attributes of perfection, and to single him out with all actions of worship. And to single him out with all actions of worship. So the second one comes and is actualized by way of the first one. So by truly knowing Allah by his names and his attributes, by truly knowing Allah by his names and his attributes and his actions, and likewise his signs and his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, one will be able to surrender. And he will be able to trust Allah and rely upon Allah and put his faith and hope in Allah and love Allah and devote himself truly to Allah with all actions of obedience. With all actions of obedience, by knowing him, by having knowledge of him, by knowing him by his beautiful names and his lofty attributes of perfection, and then learning them and then understanding what they mean and pondering over them and thinking about them and reflecting on them, especially whenever reading the Quran. And many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions his names and attributes many times in the end of verses. And the people of knowledge, they mention that the meanings of those names and attributes at the end of the verses, they have a relationship with the rulings that are mentioned previously. And the one who ponders over this affair and reflects over this affair, it will bring yani great light into his heart. and increaseth his faith and life into his iman, and he will yani have a great understanding yani of his life himself, and likewise of his Lord. And he, by pondering and reflecting over the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he so to deny these affairs, this is a dangerous way, and this is from the affairs of the unseen. So in order to understand or comprehend something, then there's only three pathways. If somebody wants to understand and comprehend something, the people of knowledge, they mention turuqu al-idraq. Turuqu al-idraq, the pathways or the means, the ways of comprehension. Either somebody, he will see it and he will understand it and comprehend it, or he will see something that's compared to it and he will understand the reality of something, not by seeing it directly, but by comparing it to something else that he has seen, or by somebody informing him about that affair. Any a reliable source. So this is the means to understand something. Anything that we want to comprehend, this is the only way to do it. Either we will see it directly and understand the reality of that affair, or we will not see it ourselves, but somebody else will see it and inform us about how it looks and compare it to something else. Somebody, for example, has never been to China, and they never seen China, but then they seen some other places like China. We say, well, I've never been in, well, they have mountains like so-and-so's mountains, and they have trees like so-and-so's trees like this, and now you have a picture of how it's like in China, but although you've never been there, like this. And so now you can compare it to other trees and other lands and other cities that you have seen, and now you have an idea of the reality of that land. Or even if you have never seen, you will have nothing to compare it to, but somebody will inform you and tell you how it is. So this is the case. Either somebody will see it directly, alhamdulillah, this is clear. Or he will compare it to something that he knows and has seen before, alhamdulillah, this is clear. Or he will get information. The information that he gets about this affair, it has to be trustworthy and reliable. So with regards to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one has ever seen them. No one in this life has ever seen Allah Azza wa Jal. And no one in this life can ever see Allah Azza wa Jal. Inna Allah lan yura fi dunya. Allah Azza wa Jal, he will never be seen in this life. The people, the eyes, they don't have the ability to see Allah Azza wa Jal. But in the hereafter, Allah will bless the believers and he will give them the ability to see him out of a blessing, a favor from him. May Allah make us from them and our families and loved ones. But this is the point here. So Allah has never been seen. So the first one is, there's no way to see Allah Azza wa Jal. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا. There's nothing comparable likewise to him. And his beautiful names and attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we've never seen him. We've never seen anything like him. The only way now to comprehend his names and attributes is from Al-Khabr, Al-Sadiq, Al-Sahih. From the information, from somebody to inform us about him, that is correct, that is authentic, that is truthful. And who is more truthful than Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. So therefore, they need to understand these names and attributes is only by way of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then likewise, according to those generations who had transmitted this affair to us, their creed and their belief with regards to these names and attributes is the proper way, and is the good way. Alhamdulillah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.